Good evening, everybody. How can you hear me loud and clear? Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I got the okay sign. Hey, a quick question was asked to me a few minutes ago about Paul Homburg. It's been an interesting
couple of weeks.
this is Tuesday, but it was a week ago Monday, he was supposed to have gone to the hospital and had the 5 shots. Well, come to find out, between the hospital and the insurance company, they couldn't get together on who was going to pay what, how much it was going to charge, and meanwhile, Paul has still not had bended down to get his 5 shots. Wednesday, he is to go down and get this. He is very, I saw him Sunday and I talked to him this morning on the phone a little bit, and his voice is very weak, and he had an unusual color when I saw him Sunday, and the tumor is about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was the size of a football on his right side. And it's a very fast-growing cancer. And I will, after all, I'm hoping his wife or somebody will let me know how the tests at the hospital go. And today is October the 16th, 2012. This is the ninth time I'm going to talk about 1 Timothy, so we'll have our prayer here to get started. It's good to see so many on here tonight. But we'll start out here. Let's take a moment to speak to the Lord. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this evening, Father, as we come into your presence, you know everyone that's here. And you also know those who will possibly join us here in Pal Talk this evening as we continue this study in 1 Timothy. This book called the Bible is your book. It's your word. And we're asking for the Holy Spirit to be present this evening to lead us in all your truths and your wisdom and knowledge. We ask you to speak to our minds and then into our hearts and help each one of us to understand, retain your word and what we hear. Help each one of us to apply what we read this evening and hear to our lives. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to start the ninth lesson that I've put together on this, and we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, and that's where we're going to start at. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, it's an interesting verse, probably most of this evening I'll spend talking about it. It says, I exhort, again, it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty. It's interesting here in this opening verse in 2 Timothy 2, what Paul's writing, because if you look at the last verse in chapter 1 there, Paul had just declared that he had delivered Hymenaeus and Alexander to Satan, and now Paul's urging believers to pray for all men. In spite of how incapable of being corrected or reformed, like these two guys evidently were. Paul writes that, he says, therefore I exhort, in other words, the word exhort means to encourage, or to call near or to invite you to, first of all, or in other words, before anything else is covered, Paul wants to impress on the minds of Christian believers the need to pray. We could call it first of all things if we wanted to get, and let's list them. We are to, first thing we're to do is we're to take our concerns to the Lord. We're to talk to the Lord in prayer. Next, he wants that we are to communicate with the Lord. And we are to make prayer a priority in our lives. The emphasis here in 1 Timothy 2:1 is on the importance of prayer. And this opening verse in chapter 2, Paul uses four words to cover the general category of prayer. And these are the four words I want to cover in our study tonight. So this is what Paul wrote in his post. And then I'm pretty much only going to, except for one reading, going to talk about the post-prison epistles, what he has written. And the first word is supplications, and that's the Greek word number for that, if you want to look it up sometime and do a chase on it, is 1162. It would be 1162. The second word is prayers, and that's 4335. And the next word is intercessions. That is word 1783. And the last one is giving of thanks, 2169. Paul writes that believers are to make supplications. So, what are supplications? So we look up the word supplications, which is Greek word 1162. We find out it's a noun, meaning it describes it as a wanting, it's a need, or an asking. And Paul writes that believers are to make supplications. In the New Testament, supplications are always addressed to God and always translated supplication or supplications, plural. The word supplications comes from a Greek word, 1189, which is a verb meaning to beg or to beseech or to ask urgently or to call to one's aid or to pray or to make a request. So with that information, we could say that we are to express our wants, we are to express our needs, and we are to express our requests to God. The word supplications, 1162, is used several times in scriptures. In fact, it is used seven times in Paul's post-prison, and we're going to cover most of them this evening. And the first reference that I want you to turn to, if you will, is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 18. That's Ephesians 6, verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, the verses that leading up to this verse in Ephesians 6, verses 14-17, Paul was just got done instructing believers to take up the pieces of armor which God has provided for them, that they might be able to stand against the evil one. And then Paul adds another piece of armor. Here in verse 18, it's called prayer. All the parts of armor mentioned in verses 14-17 strictly have been for what we call first one was gird your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet or bind your feet with the gospel of peace. The thought here in this one is that your feet should be ready to move to aggressively carry forth the gospel to both the lost and the saved. So God will help us to stand. He's going to help. This is what's going to help us to stand firm. And a lot of the time, Paul writes about things, and maybe we don't completely know why he used that illustration in that particular spot, but are you aware that in those days that Roman soldiers wore boots with nails in the soles so that they could grip the ground in times of combat? So when Paul wrote to and said to shod your feet so that you could aggressively carry forth the gospel, that was what was in the back of his mind. And the next one there is, use the shield of faith, that is to protect the body. You're not ready to engage in a spiritual battle until you have taken up or received in your hand the shield of faith. This faith could be the faith as a body of truth. This shield is a gift from God, and believers have to receive the helmet of salvation. Everything on this list is for the front of an individual. There's no protection for his backside. Nothing is provided for retreat. A retreating Christian is certainly open for the enemy. The enemy can get through to him. So, here we go. We have two weapons for offense. The Word of God, called the sword of the Spirit, and the second one is prayer. So Paul tells us to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I think what distinguishes prayer from supplication is that prayer is a sort of a general thing, and supplication is when you're being specific. So putting on the whole armor of God is equivalent to putting on Christ. And in Ephesians 6:14 says to stand. There is no turning and fleeing. As I said, there is no armor for our backside. So when we have worked out our salvation with fear and trembling, we are still to stand. And you and I as believers are to stand on the ground that has been bought and paid for with His shed blood by our Lord and Savior. So let's put on the whole armor and let's stand. Paul says that through all prayer and supplication, we are to be praying all the time in the Spirit. The thought here is that believers are to continuously pray by means of the Holy Spirit, regardless of when the time might be and the circumstance. Believers are to maintain a prayer relationship with God. Now, this is the one verse I said that was not part of the post-prism, but it's turned to Romans chapter 8, if you will. Romans 8, verse 26 and verse 27. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. It says, likewise, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know now what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, likewise, the Spirit also helps us, or let's put it this way, comes to our aid in times of human weaknesses, or because we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession. He pleads or He makes requests on behalf of another. for us, or the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for our supplications. The Holy Spirit does this with groanings. Notice the word groanings is plural. Groanings, or it's a non-language sighs and groans that cannot be uttered. Now, I'll make this clear. This groanings has absolutely nothing to do with the so-called speaking in tongues. So, don't ever get that mixed up. So, in Romans 8:27, it said, "And he that is searching the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes the intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Likewise, in verse 26, it says, the words likewise are in like manner. The Holy Spirit now helps or assists us in our weaknesses. And the specific has in mind here is our inability to know what we should pray for, not how we should pray. Paul writes here that we don't know, or we don't see with our minds what we should really be praying for. It's not really a matter of whether or not we are to pray, but that, again, we should pray. And as I said earlier, our prayers should be a normal part of our lifestyle. In this 26th verse, the words, what things we should pray for, is qualified by the words, pray as we ought. According to verse 26, there's a proper and improper way to pray. Have you ever gone to God sometimes in prayer when you actually didn't know what to say or pray for? And all you could do was just go to the Father and simply say, Father. You couldn't ask for anything because you didn't know what to ask for. At times like this, the Holy Spirit helps you and I in our human weaknesses. And you want to talk about a fringe benefit of being a believer. That benefit is a very special benefit. And in the 27th verse, according to what Paul wrote in verse, the one who is searching the hearts means that he is he's seeking out. He's tracking down and he's investigating what is in their hearts. Not only does God search the believer's heart, but he also knows what the mind of the Spirit is. What this is telling you and I is that God knows our frame of mind. He knows our thought patterns. He also knows the thoughts which the Holy Spirit has. As he pleads or makes requests for us, because we are believing saints, he knows the meaning of these unutterable groanings. And he knows the meaning of those unspoken sighs that are involved in the Holy Spirit's interceding. God knows the mind of the Spirit. The second reference I want to turn to, if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 3 and 4 there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, for you can request with joy. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice here that Paul's expressing gratitude. Appears to be expressing gratefulness and appreciation for the Philippians. Paul directs these thanks to his personal God, to my God, to whom he is personally acquainted. This goes along with Paul's consistent pattern of always directing his prayers to God the Father. And one of the things that is consistent in Paul's epistles is that all thanksgiving and prayer is addressed to God the Father. And all thanksgiving and prayer is to be through Jesus Christ. And it is to be in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Now, an example of what I'm talking about would be, turn to the next book, is Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. To get an example of what I'm just talking about. It says here, and verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The second part of that Philippians 1, but I'm going to go back now, I'm going to finish that. Philippians 1, verse 3 and 4. It's verse 4 I'm going to talk about next. Philippians 1, verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Always. The word there, always here, means all the time and every time, which you figure out. But there's an interesting thing about this verse 4. Two times in this, the translators translated the Greek word 1162. The first time that word is the word always in every prayer, that is the word supplication. Making request, and that word is 1162 also. So which is the same number as the word, like I just said, supplication, which gives us the idea of asking, requesting, or petitioning. So the thought here is that every time Paul remembered the Philippians, he thought on behalf of all of you. Notice here that Paul didn't have any favorites, that he was making these supplications or requests with joy. Now let's turn, let's go to same books, Philippians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 19, the next page. Philippians 1, 19 says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Now, that word prayer is word 1162, or in other words, or the wishing. And then, so that it's used again that way. Now let's go to Philippians, let's turn to the next reference, another fourth one. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful, in other words, or don't be anxious or don't worry for nothing. But in everything by prayer. Now this word prayer here this time is a different. This is 43:35. In other words, that's communicating or talking to God. And supplication. Now we know that one to be 1162. Calling on God for an answer or calling on Him for help. Now we've thrown in a little something else into the till with thanksgiving. And that word thanksgiving is 2169. To give of thanks freely from the heart. Here we got the word request. Now that's a different word, 155. It needs to be known unto God. So I want you to notice here in Philippians 4, 6 that our prayer and supplication is to be with, listen to this, with gratitude and gratefulness. And it's to be to God, for His Son, for the Holy Spirit, and for what God the Father and Son and Holy Spirit have done and are doing and will do on our behalf. When we consider that our great God is able to do exceedingly above what we ask or even think, the least we can do is to thank and praise Him for His unlimited power toward us. The word request here in verse 6 means that which has been asked for. We could sit around and we could stew in our physical and spiritual problems, or we can follow the directions that Paul gave to the Philippians. Number one, there's five things here. We are by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests or our needs be made known to God. It's important here to notice that these requests are to be made known to God, and God is really pleased when we confidently come to Him and pray in the Spirit to answer our prayers. Now, the fifth reference to this, to the word supplication, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Timothy 5, verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continues in, here we go, in supplications, that's word number 1162, and prayers night and day. Now, I personally don't believe that this is to be interpreted to mean that she prays 24 hours a day, but that she continues to persist in keeping her daily prayer schedule. Paul says that the widow, the one who has been left alone without any earthly family, is not really alone. In 1 Timothy 5, the word continues there means that believers are to remain in or persevere in prayers and supplications, asking, requesting and petitioning that God might speak of His people. Okay, let's go to the sixth reference here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. It says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. Now that word prayers is a, you look that up. That's 1162 again. Here we got supplications night and day. Paul wants Timothy here to know that he is unceasingly praying for him. Unceasingly praying here means, well, let's just put it right out here, without letting up, without giving up, and constantly. Paul was mentioning Timothy in his prayers. In other words, the word supplications, both night and day. Paul not only believed in prayer, but he also was a man of prayer. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Whoops, go back here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. They're picking corn around our house this evening, so if you hear the combines running, that's what's happening. 1 Timothy 4, verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, that word prayer there is another word. It's 1783. The word here for prayer means to seek. This word means to seek the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others. Is that what that, that's what that word means. So, and this 1783 word here is used two times in the New Testament. It's used in the 1 Timothy 2:1, that's our verse that we're studying, is translated intercessions. And in 1 Timothy 4:5, it's translated prayer. So our Lord wants you and I, as believers, to communicate with Him. Believers have the privilege of making intercessions before God. The word intercession in the Greek comes from two words meaning to intercede for someone or to plead the case for someone. The last word of the four words that I want to look at here in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, is the word giving of thanks. And that's, if you want to make a note on it, a Greek word, 2169. Believers are to express their thanksgiving to God. So what Paul's telling us is that thanksgiving should be an important part of our prayers. First one let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 4. Ephesians 5, 1 through 4. Ephesians 5, 1 through 4 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children," verse 2, "and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness are covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Verse 4, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather," here we go, "thanks." So in Ephesians 5, 1, it tells us to be, first of all, it tells us to be imitators of God. And then in verse 2, it tells us to walk in love. Then we go down to verse 4, and Paul adds a third command. Instead of being involved in things which are improper and unfitting, Paul strongly emphasizes that we are to be, what? Giving thanks for all men. I think that'd be fair to say all humans. These words, giving thanks, basically means good grace. It's an expression of gratitude, and it's an expression of gratefulness and thankfulness to God. Now next, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Let's go to Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, and I want to key in on verse 7. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk you in Him." Verse 7, "rooted and built in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So, rooted in Christ, built up in Christ, and established in the faith. If you notice here, it doesn't say established in faith, it says the faith. And I'm going to take the liberty here of saying the Mysterion message, coming from the book that it is, that's what we're, as you have been taught. In other words, the word abounding here means to be over and above, to excel in, therein with thanksgiving. The thought is that believers are to walk in Christ Jesus as they have been rooted. Those who are fixed, firm, and unmovable believers. God is the one who causes the roots to hold firm, and God the Holy Spirit, who is the empowering one, who enables those who have been rooted to walk in Christ. And I will tell you, working in the seed world, I debated on bringing this up, but in the seed world, a plant, whether it be corn, soybeans, wheat, alfalfa, whatever it is, it needs to be rooted well. A lot of guys, though, in the spring, this is just a little, I don't want to tell them this, but in the spring of the year when it's cool and they want to get started early and it's still cold out, corn plant is supposed to be 1.5 inches deep or 1.5 inches, one or the other, whichever you want to do. But they'll be planting corn that'll just get the seed covered just get dirt on the top of it. Well, that's all well and good for quick germination getting out of the ground. But in the fall of the year, the brace roots that hold the stock up, if we get any early fall winds, them plants ain't going to stand worth a lick. But you can always tell what they have done. In fact, when you go out and walk fields, you dig plants up. There's a, certainly you dig a kernel out of the ground, there's no hiding. You just didn't get it planted deep enough. And I know you all couldn't live another day without all that information, but I wanted to share it with you. But here Paul writes that there are four things that a person needs to be, and that is, first of all, he needs to be rooted in Christ, built up in Christ, established in the faith, and not established in faith, but in the faith. Our lives are to be continuously abounding in thanksgiving. But the Greek word here for abounding gives us the idea of going. In other words, I want you to know that we're going over and above or going beyond that which is required in thanksgiving and gratitude to God. Paul wrote about this in Ephesians 5:20. If you want to turn there, if you will, Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always. Gonna drink of water here. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Times when it is really difficult to give thanks for all things, especially when everything seems to go wrong. And it's even harder to give thanks for all humans, especially for those who choose to delight in making life miserable for us believers. And if you'll turn next to Colossians 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The Greek word translated continues here means to persevere, to persist, or in a given course of action. In the case we're talking about prayer here, we must never think of prayer as being a time of asking, but rather a time of personally communicating with God the Father. And involved in this is the word watching with thanksgiving. Watching with thanksgiving. The Greek word for watching here means to be awake, alert, or to be vigilant. And as believers, we are to continuously be watching, on the alert, and vigilant in our prayer communication with God. We need to try to be mentally and spiritually alert as we communicate with our God and Father. Thanksgiving here ought to be one of the most important parts of our prayers. God really loves to hear His children express their gratitude and gratefulness and appreciation for all that He has done for them. In Ephesians 5:4, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians 5, verse 4 says, neither, forget it while I go, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And Philippians 4, 6 talks about we are told to let our requests be known to God, but let them be known what? With thanksgiving. A simple prayer would be that, may our Lord help us to mature in appreciation of Him. The last reference we're going to look up this evening is 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of those who believe and know the truth. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. If it is received with thanksgiving, we are to pray for all men. The Greek word here for the word for literally means on behalf of. We are to pray on behalf of, for the sake of, for the God of all men. But you notice that Paul has no limiting qualifications in this verse, regardless of who the person is and what he has done. We're going to finish there this evening, and I appreciate your listening, and I have a prayer here to finish up. It says, Father, thanks for this time, and Lord, I want you to know that I really got a lot out of this, because this supplication thing has really been something that's I've had some discussions with others about, and it says, but in the name of our Lord and Savior this evening, Jesus Christ, thank you for your word. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. We thank you for being willing to listen to our wants, our needs, and our requests. Thank you for this armor that you have provided for us to face the world. Father, I'm going to ask you at this time to bless those who are traveling to Arizona this weekend, and we ask for your blessings on the conference that's coming up, because I know there's a lot of effort put into it. In your name we pray, Father. Amen.